Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from various scriptures in the Bible. Please follow along with the scriptures on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, many times when it comes to making a difference in the world, we think that it's reserved for the professionals, those who are qualified, the experts in the industry, those who are highly trained and paid to make a difference. And so what most of us do is we just watch others do the work of making history while we just live our ordinary lives. But ordinary lives become extraordinary whenever we decide to be available, to take risk, and participate in making history ourselves. The Dunkirk evacuation, also known as Operation Dynamo, was the evacuation of Allied soldiers during World War II in 1940 from the beaches and harbor of Dunkirk, France. This operation started after large numbers of British, Belgian, Polish, Dutch, and French troops were cut off and surrounded by German troops during the six-week Battle of France. In a speech to the British Parliament, Prime Minister Winston Churchill called this a colossal military disaster, saying the whole root and core and brain of the British Army had been stranded at Dunkirk and seemed about to perish or be captured by the Germans. With little to no naval ships available, the Allies experienced the daunting challenge of what to do and how to evacuate their troops from the beach of Dunkirk. The call was made for anyone who had a boat to make the difficult passage to Dunkirk and to be willing to use their vessel, no matter how big or small, to help rescue the troops. British families had to decide if they would risk their safety and possessions in order to save the lives of their fellow men. People in England rose to the challenge and united in forming a flotilla of hundreds of marine boats, fishing boats, yachts, lifeboats, and other sized boats that combined to evacuate British, French, Polish, Dutch, and Belgian troops off the beach. In 9 days, historians recorded that 338,226 men escaped aboard 861 different boats. These soldiers would have been killed or captured by Hitler's army if civilians didn't answer the call and help to rescue the troops. But because they did, thousands were saved and later were able to be redeployed and contribute to the ending of World War II. In his "We Shall Fight the Beaches" speech, Prime Minister Churchill hailed the rescue as a miracle of deliverance, because people sacrificed, combined their efforts, and did what they could do in order to save others. This operation was named the Miracle of Dunkirk because so many of our troops made it back because of the brave efforts of ordinary people like you and me, who participated in something greater without thought of their own safety in order to save lives. That's what happens when people come together. And this incident changed the trajectory of the war. But what would have happened if the civilians didn't do what they did? What would have happened if they heard the need and said, you know, I'm not available. Or you know what? Someone else can do it. If those 338,226 troops weren't saved and remobilized, how would World War II possibly have ended differently? You know, we're in a sermon series called Disciple Shift, 5 steps to help us be disciples who make disciples, inspired by the book Disciple Shift by Jim Putman and Bobby Harrington. And these shifts are important for us to learn about and make, because before he returned to heaven, Jesus commanded all of his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. But if we are honest, far too often we can fall short of being a disciple ourselves, never mind helping others to follow Jesus. But Jesus invites anyone who follows him into a greater purpose of saving people's lives now and for eternity. And this was necessary because God's intention was for us to have a relationship and do life with him forever as we cared for the people and the world that he created. But because sin destroyed our relationship with God and destined all of humanity for an eternity without God, Jesus came to create an avenue where we could be made right with him and right with each other. Because of God's love for us, Jesus died on a cross for the sins of humanity so that we could be set free from sin. And with his resurrection, anyone who believes in him will have new life in him now and for all eternity. So in order for the whole world to experience this salvation and reconciliation with God and others, Jesus called 12 ordinary men to follow him. And in doing so, they would change the world. And those 12 disciples became 72 disciples. And those 72 disciples became 120 disciples. And those 120 disciples became 3,000 disciples. And those 3,000 disciples lived and loved in such a way because their lives were transformed by God. And as a result, they continued to transform the people and the communities around them. There was a movement of people coming to know Jesus because of the people who knew Jesus. However, one of the biggest reasons we don't see such movements of disciples making disciples like we saw in the first century is because most churches today have been set up in a way where there are only a few professional Christians doing the work of Jesus, while everyone else just comes to a show to be fed, and then they leave. We have bought into the lie that only some people are called into ministry, while others are not. Others believe that simply being informed and having head knowledge about God equates to transformation of their lives, but that is not true. That is why Christianity has become a spectator sport for consumers who just watch a show while they themselves have a very shallow faith that is optional when it comes to their lives. But did you know that God actually calls every follower of Jesus into ministry? And it is the job of the church to equip every follower of Jesus for the work of ministry. Having lots of information is great, but it doesn't help other people if you're not doing anything with that information. So it's making the shift from informing people about God to equipping them to serve God. See, it's when the follower of Jesus understands that because they follow Jesus and are being transformed by him, they now have the responsibility to leverage the relationship that they have with God in order to partner with God to serve and transform the lives of those around them. So serving others and being a part of God's purpose means his ministry is a byproduct of following Jesus. God has given us each other, and that is why we need each other in order to fulfill the mission that God has for us. And that is why it's so necessary for us to come together as a church in order to be equipped for ministry so that those around us can find true life in Him. Ministry is the Greek word diakoneo, which means to serve. And Jesus provided this pattern for Christian ministry by coming to earth not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for us. That is why the disciple Paul that we read about in the Bible concluded that in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. See, our act of worship is giving all of ourselves over to all of God. And that includes giving of our lives to serve others so that they themselves may find life. Because God paid a great price to set us free from sin and death. As His followers, we offer our lives back to God as a means of serving Him by serving others. Since He loved and served us, we can love and serve others. Because He was present and made time for us, we can be present and make time for others. Because He forgave us, we can forgive others. Because He brought us hope, we can bring others hope. We owe Jesus our lives, and so we serve as a response with joy and gratitude for what He has done for us, which we didn't even deserve. God never created us to just be consumed with living for ourselves, but He created us to make a difference with our lives by serving others in need of His love. That is why anyone of us who considers ourselves to be followers of Jesus is the church. And because we are the church, we each have a purpose, a role, and a function to fulfill in order to be God's hands and feet to save this world. We have a purpose in being one body and one community where people do life with each other, they serve each other, and they serve together. Just like the organs in our body each play a role in helping the physical body to function, every believer is like an organ that has a part to play when it comes to the body of Christ. But in order for any organ to fulfill its purpose, it must be connected to the greater body. So if you take the heart away from the body, the organ and body will cease to function and will die. Remove the lungs or the liver from the body, and the organs and the body will cease to function and die. So if that is the case for a physical body, then it would also work the same with the church body. If we all need each other, and if every believer is a vital member of the body, then if we are isolated and not attached to a living local church body, eventually we will lose our effectiveness and passion for the things of God. That is why we are all dependent on each other to function, and that is why attending church can never be optional, because we need each other. Scripture says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." If we are all a vital part of the body of Christ, then when we're not present and when we don't play our part, it affects the greater body. That is why the life of a disciple is not just about consuming, but also contributing to the greater body of believers as we live out God's purposes and mature in our faith. It is when the body works together that we all become better, and this happens when we are available to be in relationship with each other. Because an organ does not function alone. It needs the other organs to live and to thrive. We need each other in order to be healthy followers of Jesus as we serve others together. And when believers come to corporately worship God together on Sundays and in smaller groups during the week on a regular basis, the church becomes the equipping station for the parts of the body to live out God's purposes in the world. That is why we need each other, and everyone is needed. Paul says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." See, we are the church, and one of the purposes of the church is to equip believers so that they can effectively do ministry. So people gather to be equipped, and then they scatter to serve and live out God's purposes wherever they go. They gather to be in life groups, and then they scatter to practice what they've learned. And when it comes to the church body, God chose apostles who were the early New Testament believers who laid the foundation of the first century church with Jesus as the head and the chief cornerstone. Today, apostles are people who have the gift to pioneer new churches and ministries while overseeing and training others. Then Paul talks about the prophets who speak forth words from God in complete consistency with the foundation of the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Then there are evangelists, who are people gifted to preach the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And pastors and teachers, who shepherd the people of God through teaching the word of God and giving counsel. All these leaders serve God by serving the body of Christ, the people, by equipping them for the work of ministry. This helps the body of Christ to now be built up, to be expanded and strengthened. It helps the body of Christ to first learn how to love and serve each other within the family of God, so that wherever they go, the marketplace, in school, or wherever God has placed them, they can continue to love and serve those that are around them. And the whole point of the church is being together with Christ so that we can become mature in our faith, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We can't do that alone. We can only do that when we are connected to the body, because we need each other, and everyone is needed. We need each other to become better followers of Jesus, and we need each other to fulfill the mission that God has for us to bring love, salvation, redemption, and restoration to this world. But the misconception is when people think that doing God's work is the pastor's or the ministry leader's job, while everyone else just comes and watches. But God actually says that every member of his family, meaning anyone who has a relationship with Jesus and has crossed from spiritual death to spiritual life, is considered a minister. And this includes anyone, no matter what spiritual stage you currently find yourself in, whether you're a spiritual infant, spiritual child, spiritual young adult, or spiritual parent. Scripture says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." In Old Testament times, people did not approach God directly. Instead, a priest acted as an intermediary between God and sinful humans. But when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, he became the priest that opened a way for us to come directly into God's presence without fear. And so followers of Jesus are now given that authority and privilege of bringing others to God as well. So being united with Christ and part of his body, we now join in with Jesus to minister to others with his truth and his love as we help to reconcile humans back to God. Scripture says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So anyone who is a follower of Jesus is a minister, not a pastor, a minister. And ministry was meant to be done by all of us because we all make up the body of Christ. We're all needed in order to fulfill God's mission because we are all ministers. That is why church is not just a place you attend, but it is where the body comes together to learn from God and from each other, to be equipped so that we can scatter into the world as his image bearers that bring salvation, hope, and restoration to the rest of the world. You know, when I was still young in my faith and a friend told me that I was a minister, it changed the way that I saw my life. It meant that wherever I went, I was an ambassador and I represented Jesus. But it also meant that as a minister, I could be that source of hope for people at work, school, or wherever I went. And that is when I realized that I needed other committed followers of Jesus to help me to do this so that I could be equipped to live out God's purposes in, through, and around me. Instead of relying on my pastor all the time to have conversations about God with my friends, I could learn to be equipped by those in the church in order to have those conversations with my friends. Instead of calling a church leader to attend to a person's needs, I could learn to be equipped to gather others and we could attend to that person's needs. If God sees me as a minister, then that means that I needed to make time to be equipped and learn from other believers so that I could serve others well. I started to see my life differently because my faith wasn't just meant to benefit me, but God wanted to use my life to serve those who were all around me. And I got equipped by being with other believers who showed me what to do and how to better serve others. They trained me. I learned from Tony in college to know how to smile more often and be hospitable to everyone because he did that on campus. He was kind and encouraging to others, and by hanging out with him, I learned how to not be a jerk all the time, but to be kind and encouraging to others. I learned from Kenneth what it meant to hold on to your faith and convictions in the face of adversity. He had a trust in God that I'd never seen before. And he praised God even when things didn't go how he wanted it to go. He equipped me to stand up to opposition and be bold with my faith. I learned from John how to listen and to not be quick to react all the time. And that has helped me to relate better with others. I learned from Wadley what it meant to share my faith in a way that was gentle and respectful. I learned from Melissa what it meant to surrender to God and to sacrifice in order to serve him. And these were just people in college who were part of the body of Christ. And by me being a part of that body, I not only understood why my faith mattered, but I was equipped by others to do ministry so that others could find Jesus. But this could only happen when I was real with my church family and said, hey, I need help. I don't have the foundation of faith to sustain my life, yet alone help others. So can you help me to grow? I don't have the answers that they are asking. Can you teach me? I don't know what to do in this situation. Can you guide me? Can you pray for me? And I learned that it was only when I was vulnerable with others at church about my weaknesses that people gladly came alongside me to mentor me and to help me with my healing. And they helped to equip me so that I could better love and serve those around me. Too often, people remain spiritually dead because followers of Jesus are not available to engage with them. And too often, followers of Jesus remain spiritually immature because they're not available to be around others. And so they don't ask others to help them to grow. Just imagine if every member of Community City Church saw themselves as a minister that God called them to be. How many more lives would be changed? How many more people would be cared for? How many more needs would be met? How many more people would come to know Jesus? And how much more ministry could be done if we all ministered? Because every member is a minister, and every member is needed. And every member is given gifts and abilities in order to serve God. Scripture says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. These are just a few of the gifts and abilities that God gives to his people, because each of us is created differently with a purpose to do ministry as part of the greater body. Whatever God has designed for us to do, he equips us with everything that we need in order to accomplish it. Pastor Rick Warren calls this our shape: spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experience. This combination makes up who we are as we allow God to fulfill his purposes through us. The first is spiritual gifts. God gives every believer spiritual gifts to be used in ministry and to serve others. These are God-empowered abilities. Scripture says, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Every believer receives at least one gift that is used to build the body of Christ. Not one person has all the gifts, because then we wouldn't need anybody else. But God created us to work together. When we combine and use our gifts together, we all benefit. And when we don't use our gifts, we end up missing out on what we could have accomplished together. Some of these gifts include, but are not limited to, things like administration, encouragement, hospitality, leadership, teaching, and giving. The next part of our shape is heart. Our heart describes the desires, passions, hopes, dreams, and affections that we have. It is our natural interest that we can use to serve God and others. When you think about such things, there is excitement. I have a friend, and she's passionate about caring for other people. She's always looking for ways to help people. She will call people to check in, wanting to bring stuff over. If they need anything, she listens, she encourages, she prays for people. That is how God shaped her heart. Next are our abilities. Your abilities are the natural talents that you were born with. Some people are natural speakers or writers. Some are naturally athletic, or they're natural caregivers, while some are naturally academic or just great with using their hands. The Bible talks about all kinds of abilities that people have, like being able to build and fix things, baking, debating, designing, leading, inventing, and organizing, just to name a few. to discover some of the natural abilities that God has given you, you can examine what you are good at doing and enjoy doing. The abilities that you have are an indication of what God wants you to do with your life. But it's not meant to just be used to just make a living for you, but to also be used to be used in ministry. When you leverage your abilities to serve God, you feel God's pleasure and power to bless others. The next part of our shape is our personality. God made each of us with different personalities. Some are introverts, others are extroverts. Some love structure, others are spontaneous. Some are thinkers, others are feelers. Some like to work alone while others like to work as a team. But that is the beauty of the church, because God uses different personalities in order to accomplish his purposes through his church and in this world. The people that make up the body are so diverse that they can now relate and serve all kinds of different people. And our personality will determine how we use the spiritual gifts and abilities that God has given. For example, if someone has the gift of leadership, some like to lead up front in front of everybody else, and some like to lead behind the scenes. They're both exercising their gifts for God, but based on their personality and temperaments. And lastly, there are our experiences that make up our shape. We have all been shaped by our experiences in life, and this includes our family experiences, our educational experiences, our vocational experiences, our spiritual experiences, our ministry experiences, and even our painful experiences. It is because of what we have experienced in our lives that shapes us and even allows us to relate with and minister to other people. That is why when we move away from isolation and into community, we become part of the body of Christ. And in doing life with people, we now have the opportunity to be equipped, to exercise our gifts, and to mature spiritually. And if you don't know how you are shaped, there are a few things you can do. First, we recommend asking the people who know you best, and they can point out what they see in you. We also invite you to volunteer with the ministry, as you will be able to quickly figure out what you like doing and even what you don't like doing. Lastly, if you're interested, there are also multiple assessments that you can take to help you to figure out your shape. We have put a link to a free shape assessment on your message notes if you're interested. It is when we step out in order to do something along with God and others that we're now able to be equipped to live out the purposes that God has for us. And I know we're all busy with our things to do, but if we're too busy to follow Jesus and love him with our time, then I'm sorry, you're too busy. If we're too busy to find time to engage our neighbors, our friends, and our community, then we are too busy. If we're too busy for relationships and to be equipped and empowered so that we can change the environments that we're in with the gospel, then I'm sorry, we're too busy. And if we are too busy, we will miss out on what God is trying to do in, through, and around our lives. However, if we can continually reorder our lives around the priorities of God, we will mature in our faith and become disciples that make disciples. Pastor and author Steve Murrow of Victory Church tells this story. Where do we go to find information fast? Everyone knows it's Wikipedia. It's the world's largest free online encyclopedia. The wiki part of Wikipedia comes from the Hawaiian word meaning quick, but Wikipedia was actually an accident. In the year 2000, Jimmy Wales and Larry Sanger started an online encyclopedia called Newpedia, and the goal was for the website to only include entries written by experts. So before contributed articles were accepted, they had to go through an extensive scholarly review process. This strategy proved to be painstakingly slow. When Newpedia unplugged its servers in 2003, only 24 articles had been posted on the site, and 74 were still in the review process. There were not many articles on Newpedia, but those 24 articles were very scholarly and very professionally written. However, in 2001, 1 year after Newpedia launched, Wales and Sanger started Wikipedia as a feeder system for Newpedia. This idea was to allow the average Joe Schmo, non-pros, non-scholars, non-experts, to write articles about topics that Newpedia scholars would then review and approve. And did you know that by the end of 2001, volunteers had submitted more than 20,000 wiki articles? It took the experts 3 years to create 24 articles, and the non-experts 1 year to create 20,000 articles. Today, Wikipedia has close to 7 million articles written by regular people and reviewed by professionals. And those articles are just as accurate as traditional encyclopedia entries written by recognized experts. And when it comes to the church, when you only have a few people doing the work of ministry, the church can only accomplish so much in transforming the world for Jesus. Most churches are set up where only those who have theological degrees and training are on the stage doing the work of the ministry while everyone watches. But that is not how Jesus intended for the church to function, nor is it how Community City Church functions. He intended for all the non-experts, all the regular people like you, to be equipped by the church leaders like me, so that you can go and minister, so that you can better love those around you, so that you can go and share the gospel with those around you. Because if we all do something, just imagine how much more of an impact we all can make together for Jesus. I can't reach your coworker unless they come to church, but you can reach your coworker in your workplace because of how you love them. I can't reach your neighbor when they are in need of help, but you can reach your neighbor because you are a minister of Jesus. I can't evangelize all of your friends and family members and share with them about the gospel. But if you learn how to do that, you will bring people to Christ. So we want to function like a wiki church where everyone is needed and everyone does something to fulfill the mission. And this starts with us, all of us, being part of the body, all of us taking steps to have deeper relationships with each other, and all of us being equipped so all of us can make a difference. Because if Jesus' vision is to bring redemption to the whole planet, then he will do it through all his people. And this will happen when we are all about actively following Jesus and being transformed by him. Actively following Jesus with others and being transformed by him in community. And actively helping others to follow Jesus so that they can be transformed by him. We want to be the kind of church whereby people are not just watching a show on Sunday and then giving the best of themselves to their workplaces to build those organizations that have temporal impact. But if the local church is the most important force for Jesus on earth to change people's lives, then we all should be using our shape in order to build the church, because our mission not only changes people's lives now, but for eternity. So if you are already involved in ministry here, thank you for serving Jesus the way that you do. And you have seen that by getting involved in the work of ministry, you are actually growing your faith and are better equipped to minister and serve those around you. And for those of you who aren't serving in any capacity, How can you use your shape in order to minister to others? How can you do that here? How can you create hospitable environments where people feel welcomed, loved, and connected? How can you teach children so that down non-Christian parents can come here? And how can you mentor youth so that they can find Jesus and become better followers of Jesus? How can you join ministries like Neighbor to Neighbor, where you build friendships with our neighbors in Malden as you listen and minister to them with whatever they're going through? How can you use your vehicle and your muscles to help set up and tear down and transport equipment so that we can have a sanctuary where people can gather to worship and meet God and be equipped and then scatter to make a difference for Jesus? Maybe it's something else that you can do. How can you move from sitting in a seat to being a part of God's greater purpose with all of us? Because remember, we need each other, and everyone is needed. And when we do something, we end up learning how to be equipped for it. So what can you do to shift from being informed about the mission to now being equipped to fulfill the mission? And by doing this, you will become a disciple that helps to make disciples as you experience God's love and God's grace and God's mercy and God's purpose in a much, 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 much deeper way. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, whenever we do life in isolation, we just end up shortchanging ourselves from being the people that you meant for us to be. And when we're not part of the body, we actually shortchange what you would have wanted to do in, through, and around us in this world. And we need you, and we need each other to mature us. So help us to overcome the barriers that prevent us from deeper community with others as we make ourselves available so that we can be equipped to become disciples that make disciples. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope and mercy, and you want to experience his forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for eternity. He lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins and my sins so that whoever can believe in him, can find forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.